From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of October, 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Sue Martin. She's at Ag and Investment Services out of Clarion, Iowa. And a bit later in the program, we'll catch up on all the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. He'll talk about the change in the weather pattern here in the Midwest and how Hurricane Michael could impact what's happening in Brazil. That's right, not the weather exactly, but cropping and rotation. We'll hear more about that as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. There you can purchase your tickets, by the way, for the Farm Assets Conference. That's coming up the 20th day of November in Normal, Illinois. They're just $40. Find all the details online at willag.org or farmassetsconference.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Sue Martin from Ag and Investment Services out of Clarion, Iowa. Good afternoon to you, Sue. Thanks so much for being with us and filling in this afternoon.
Thank you, Todd. It's nice to be here.
So this has been kind of an interesting week. We had that 15-cent jump up in the markets on Monday, and a lot of people thought, hey, maybe, but maybe didn't sell soybeans, and then we've watched that erode away. And I heard your noon hour cast here on the home station talking about maybe giving away a bit more of that yet today. And in fact, we did and closed lower for the week. What do you think of the marketplace for soybeans?
Well, I think we're still going to push a little bit lower. Now, the 850 level is kind of a psychological barrier, but I think we could even get down to 842. And then maybe the market catches there and tries to bounce back. The problem is that parts of Iowa and Wisconsin and southern Minnesota got rain again overnight, as much as a half inch. Some places, like in Wisconsin, maybe only a tenth or two, which serves to keep farmers back out of beans again and ramps up a little bit of that moisture. So a very frustrating fall. I was the driest, or not the driest, but the wettest on record and the latest October than they've had on records for harvesting. And so it's we're hearing more and more talk of damage out there or quality issues with soybeans as farmers move through the fields. Talk of bean pods bursting and beans going on the ground. More talk about mold. We're hearing a lot of that. And so I think the bean market will come down a little bit more. Will we go back to the low? I'm not so sure about that. We have held the lead contract. We have held the July low, which was 810 and a quarter. And but the November contract has made a new contract low since July for itself, but yet we've not been able to take out that low. And that contract low that we had in July is on a trend line that goes way back. So I can see why the market's held here and sponsored rallies and then fell back. But then the weather, you know, when it turned more for a more harvestable forecast, that kind of started to weigh on the market, and justifiably, as we pulled some weather premium out of the market.
How far along do you think Monday afternoon the USDA will show a harvest is across the nation?
47% is what I'm thinking. Some people are thinking more. Normal, I think, for this week would be around 75%. But, you know, farmers, when they got in, boy, they went full bore. And they weren't going to come out of those fields for nothing. But then we caught these rains, and that slows us right back up again and takes another day or so away. So here we are. Depends on how much. And, farmers here are, you know, they're bouncing back and forth between beans and corn. Once they were able to get into beans, they went in and they just kept at it. But the problem is this rain came in overnight, wasn't forecast, and it showed up. And so that has slowed us back up again.
How worried are they that we're entering November soon?
Well, I think farmers, as long as we just don't have any more snow, you know, we had a good shot of snow last weekend, and if we don't get any more of that, they'll be okay. It's not the nice, easy fall that we thought we were going to have. Crops were ready for harvest in September. We just couldn't get them. And so I think you know, the farmers are just going to keep pushing. You give them, with this equipment that we have, if the weather straightens out and we don't catch any more showers, they'll be really pushing hard here through the whole weekend and on through the next week. But, you know, if we turn cold, that isn't going to help us a little bit. And the corn stalks are rotting. Corn is breaking off. A lot of it is broken off over the top of the ears, so that's a good thing. But, boy, I just worry that the stalks will get so brittle or so deteriorated that it won't take much of a touch and then the ears will fall. So we don't need any wind. We've been blessed so far without wind. We hope that we don't catch what I heard on your weather forecast guy today.
Yeah, so that was pretty windy. You're about an hour north, due north of Des Moines, 90 miles actually. Is there a lot of grain on the ground already? How is basis holding up in the process?
Basis is holding pretty decent. Of course, it's a lot wider than we're accustomed to. You know, we have 55, 60 cent basis, pretty much common on corn, and beans at a dollar, maybe a dollar 10, depends. We don't have any situations in Iowa where elevators are refusing to take beans. That's one good thing. I hear some of that in Nebraska, and of course we've heard it in the Dakotas, but and parts of Minnesota, but we don't have that. So that's a good thing. I think that when I look at crops, I'm hearing some sprouting on corn. And of course, again, moldy beans. Around Webster City, where our office used to be, clients there are telling me that their corn is running around 140 to 160, beans moldy. And of course, that area's had a lot of rain. But you get up into northwest Iowa, and there are some areas up there that maybe got, like around Sioux Center, up in that area, that was a little bit saved from all the heavy rains around Spencer, and they're telling me some of those farmers are getting 300 bushel corn. Beans coming in around 65 to 75. Locally here, beans are running anywhere from 50 to maybe 60, 65. Some 40s the further south I go for a little bit around Highway 18 or 20, and then maybe a little bit further south, some 40s to 50s. But it's not as good as it was a year ago.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today and for all you do for the radio station. Folks, if they listen to the home station, can hear you during the noon hour at about 2 minutes to the hour of 1 o'clock each and every day right here on our home station, AM 580. Thanks so much, Sue.
Thank you very much, and I apologize I can't make your meeting on November 20th. We talked about that yesterday, but my husband's having possibly a surgery, and I just want to be here for that. So, but otherwise, next time.
Yeah, next time. We understand. Thanks so much, and we'll say a few prayers for him, okay?
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Sue. That's Sue Martin. She is with Ag and Investment Services from Clarion, Iowa. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. Eric, thanks for being with us. Things turned a little different today. Can you tell me about the short-term forecast here?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. 7, 10 days ago, we were in the 80s. And, of course, the whole pattern broke down and things have shifted. And now we keep featuring these cold fronts coming out of Canada, taking that stored cold air out of Western Canada and bringing it through the Great Plains and here in Illinois. So we've got a pretty big change in the overall pattern, and it's good because the previous pattern we were locked into, which is one where we had a deep trough out west and a big ridge over the southeast, brought all of that precipitation from Texas all the way to Wisconsin. And I just looked at some data recently, and if you look over the last 45 days, from Texas to Wisconsin, some of those locations got half of their yearly rainfall in the last 45 days, but some places in Texas getting more than a year's worth of rainfall in that time period. Well, what's happened is everything has shifted, and now we've gotten ourselves into a pattern. Well, today we're going to be seeing some widely scattered showers moving across Illinois, and then what we're watching for the next 24 to 36 hours is another big push of cold air sweeping out of the northern plains across our state. So Saturday's going to be a bit raw. We're going to have some strong northwest winds coming through the state, at times maybe gusting up to 40 miles an hour. And it's just going to be windy and raw. And we're going to keep seeing these systems roll through. We're now into a pattern that's going to be a lot more active in terms of getting trough ridge, and rather than getting blocked up. And so we're watching another system midweek next week that will be emerging out of Texas again. So I'm just trying to tell you, the pattern's back to being active rather than being blocked up. And this is pretty typical of fall weather. But if I had to put a number on it, I would tell you that at least over the next 15 days, because how quickly the systems are moving through, much of the state of Illinois, in fact, most of the Corn Belt, will be seeing drier than average conditions. We'll still get some precipitation, but overall drier than the climatological average. So it's active right now.
This is despite the fact that we'll have what, on average, how many patterns a week?
You know, it's when we get into this time of year, it's usually about one a week, maybe one or two a week. So that's normal fall, winter, and early spring weather for us. So we've certainly unblocked things, and we're letting the jet stream move through.
What do you see in South America?
Well, interesting thing about this year compared to last year was, remember, we were talking about a delay in the planting last year simply due to the fact that the monsoon hadn't really gotten going, and therefore we need that moisture to get into the soil so that the soybean plant can germinate. Well, this year, things have been quite wet. In fact, over the next 15 days or so, we're seeing eastern growing regions of Brazil even being wet, and that's usually the last place that the monsoonal flow gets into. So Brazil's off to a pretty good start. We know that they have bigger acreage this year. And if they've got a good start to their crop, that means that soybeans, that'll be good for them. But this also means that the safrinha or second crop will also be probably planted on time. Now, we look longer term. I think when you think about South America, because of the weak developing El Nino in the Pacific, there is the risk for some drier conditions in Brazil's northern growing regions. But generally, when there's an El Nino of any strength, Argentina tends to be wetter than average. And we're starting to see that in some of our longer term models. So I think it's going to be a year that we're going to have to watch for Brazil to possibly have a very big productive year, maybe like CONAB is suggesting 120 million metric ton. But Argentina will also be much better than they were a year ago as well, thanks to the El Nino that's going on in the Pacific.
I have two more questions. They're both about North America. Do you have a quick look into our winter forecast?
I do. That same El Nino we've been discussing is one of our, you know, early season or preseason kind of predictors. And what we're seeing right now is that that particular pattern of ocean temperatures in the Pacific historically has led to warmer conditions in the western United States, also drier conditions in the western United States, with a much more active eastern U.S. storm track. Now, here's the problem. If it does favor that pattern throughout much of winter, this could give us a bit of a drier winter here in the Midwest and Great Plains. Now, remember, we're looking at, you know, December, January, February, all averaged together. We will certainly still have, you know, normal winter weather racing across this part of the country. But if you just kind of had pinned me down and say, all right, what's it look like? I'd say that we have this particular winter risks for it being closer to average on temperatures with maybe some cooler risks, but maybe a drier winter is in the forecast. But again, at this far out, it's kind of speculative, which is why we talk every Friday, right? We keep up on the week-to-week stuff every Friday here.
Hey, speaking of that, how much damage in the Southeast do you think Hurricane Michael did to agricultural commodities?
Yeah, so we're talking here about peanuts, and we're talking about cotton, especially cotton. Remember, Michael came on shore with 155-mile-an-hour winds, and the cotton crop that's down there in parts of southern Alabama, of course the Panhandle of Florida, then getting over into parts of Georgia and South Carolina, that cotton crop was an open bowl, which means we're blowing the cotton off the plant. I've seen some pictures of just some devastation of that crop. And what I'm curious about is to see the ripple effect of that. Will that impact the cotton market enough that maybe Brazil in their safrinha crop will plant more cotton rather than corn? I don't know that just yet, but that's something I'm going to watch. And then what does that mean for our next season, the corn crop, because of what Brazil does with cotton? So I think we need to see that the ripple effect of Hurricane Michael may be long-lasting just because of what it did to one industry down there in the Southeast.
Wow. Hey, thanks so much for the insight. I appreciate that. And we'll talk with you again next week.
Yeah, thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible. You know, yesterday afternoon we recorded Commodity Week. Our panelists for the program included Ellen Dearden of AgriView, Joe Vaklevic from Standard Grain, and Mike Zuzlo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, along with Corey Bratlin of Kleiss Commodity Advisors. He's out of Willow Lake, South Dakota. I started with him and asked him whether he'd had snow cover there and in their area, what that really meant for producers.
Very, very wet. We actually, I shouldn't say it too loudly, but we've kind of dodged the snow. We've had a little skiff here and there, but, 50 to 100 miles south of me has actually had snow. And obviously you get up 50 to 100 miles north of me, you get in North Dakota, they've had quite a bit of snow. But right where I'm at, we've dodged a bullet, but we've gotten quite a bit of rain.
Farmers back in the field?
Yeah, we got in late Tuesday night. We had a little corn picking going on, but you know, we've got a fair amount of our soybeans left to go, and we've got going back to the field late Tuesday night, and we've been running pretty hard the last 2 days, and we're gonna get a lot of it. The weather looks very good here for the extended, you know, extended maps anyways look very good. So we're going to get the lion's share of it knocked out in the next 5 to 7 days.
I know farmers were worried about both crops, soybeans more than corn, as far as it it involves what might happen with shatter and some yield loss. What are you hearing?
Yeah, well, I've talked with some customers down in along the South Dakota, Nebraska, and the Minnesota-Iowa line, where they had anywhere from probably 3 to 4, maybe some spots of 6-7 inches of snow. And overall, the snow melted really good. They're back in the field going pretty hard here now. It sounds like, you know, there's maybe a little bit of shatter, a little bit of, you know, some of the pods are popping open. But it sounds like that the loss has been pretty minimal. Now, right here locally where I'm at, I'm kind of, east central South Dakota. You know, we are seeing very little, if any, yield loss with the rains. And then you get north of us where they had a little heavier snow. Snow was stuck around a little while longer. They had probably 3-4 days of, snow, because it was, 8 to 10 inches or so, even more up in North Dakota. They're seeing a little bit of yield loss, but all in all, I think we're coming out of it pretty darn good.
Hey, Mike Zuzulo, I kind of want to go through the same set of questions with you. You're there in Atchison. You would be close to the northwest corner of Missouri, southeast corner of Nebraska, and the southwest corner of Iowa. All would have a little different take, I would think. And I don't know whether you've driven through that part of Missouri that was drought-ridden and can tell me more about what that looks like as far as yields today. But what are you hearing from producers in your area and those that you talk to across the Midwest?
Yeah, in our area, we're just getting started, Todd, whereas, as Corey talked about, up towards the Nebraska-Kansas border and even into central Nebraska, where the rains weren't as heavy, they've been going for a couple days now, and yields haven't dropped off much. There have been a couple reports as you get east, as you go towards Omaha and the Iowa-Nebraska border, that there's some damage there. 3 to 5 bushels has been heard quite a bit. Some, minor reports or few reports of as much as 10 bushels off, and this is on soybeans. I think the fear is that if we get a second wave of weather that comes in that slows us down again another week, that all of a sudden we're up against late October, 1st of November, and then it gets, more and more difficult to get out more than 1 or 2 days a week. I don't think the farmers around here are super nervous yet. They're certainly wanting to get after it. They'll be nervous after Halloween, I think.
Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. You can hear the whole of the Commodity Week program online right now if you'd like at willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference online right now at farmassetsconference.com or willag.org. You can find all the details for the conference, which is to be held the 20th day of November in Normal, Illinois. That's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and the cost is just $40. Buy those tickets online now, willag.org or farmassetsconference.com. Here's what's in today's agricultural news. Sonny Perdue, Secretary of Agriculture for the United States, told reporters yesterday that he plans to heed President Trump's directive to slash federal spending by 5%, and he thinks USDA can find even greater savings than that. The president's call to action follows a Treasury Department report on the budget shortfall for fiscal 2018, which totaled some $776 billion, 17% higher than the previous year, driven in large part by a decline in corporate tax revenue following the Republicans' tax overhaul. USDA will absolutely participate in that, Perdue said, after a school lunch event he was attending. The fiscal 2019 budget blueprint Trump sent to Congress requested a 16% cut to USDA discretionary spending, though lawmakers rebuffed the proposal in appropriations legislation. It is still unknown whether Purdue's decision to relocate USDA's Economic Research Service and National Institute of Food and Agriculture outside of Washington next year will save any money, because the department has not released a cost-benefit analysis. Now, Purdue has said there isn't enough data yet to project how many staffers will leave. So far, 139 cities in 34 states have applied to be the relocation destination. And one other story for the day, China has been turning to other nations to fulfill its need for pork. An outbreak of African swine fever in China has buyers looking to Europe and South American countries to fill orders. U.S. imports are more expensive, with upward of 70% tariffs as a result of the Trump administration's trade tensions with Beijing. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. In just a moment, we'll take a look at the weather forecast for the winter months with Jim Angel. He serves as the state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist for the Illinois State Water Survey at the University of Illinois Prairie Research Institute. After a warm start to October, the last week has been much colder and drier. Temperatures across Illinois averaged about 10.5 degrees below normal, while rainfall amounts range from 1/4 to 1/2 of an inch. NOAA released their official forecast for this winter. The northern third of Illinois has a slightly increased chance of warmer than normal conditions, and the northeast corner, including the Chicago area, has an increased chance of being drier than normal. However, the increased odds are very weak, and we are on the margins for those areas. Historically, the core areas with the higher odds on the NOAA maps are more likely to be proven correct. The problem is that while we are likely to see an El Nino event this winter, it is expected to be weak. Therefore, the impacts for Illinois are weak as well. And El Niños refer to the set of ocean and wind conditions in the Pacific Ocean basin along the equator. Strong events have been known to give us milder winters with less snow, but that's less likely to happen this year. In the shorter term, for the next week, we can expect the colder than normal temperatures to prevail in Illinois. Highs will be in the 50s and 60s, while lows will be in the 30s and 40s. There's no significant chance of precipitation in the forecast either. This is state climatologist Jim Angel.